are you drinking?
I've got a black tea, a Fiji Tips out of the box out there.
Yeah, only the highest quality
only
stuff.
Only the highest quality, with nothing in it. Half a cup of water, because that's what was left.
You gotta stay hydrated. Are you a coffee guy usually?
Or you I'm tea? A coffee in the morning. In fact, my whole life until, I don't know, 2 years ago, I never drank coffee.
Really? What changed?
I don't know. I started to like getting an espresso, like something sweet, like
that one.
And then I was like, I literally said, maybe I'll see what getting a habit is all about.
Yeah.
With caffeine. And it's on. So, yeah.
I just started like 3 months ago drinking coffee.
Really?
Yeah. Like in college, I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it because, you know, I can do it without it. I got this.
Yeah.
And then over the summer, I worked at a golf course and it was earlier mornings than I've ever had here at school. And that's what made me fold. And I'm a little disappointed in myself.
Yeah, you know, it worked. Getting the habit worked. I got it. The thing about it, though, is that, I don't know, it doesn't really work that great if you didn't get enough sleep. It makes you feel awesome if you got enough sleep. It's even better. And then if you didn't get enough sleep, then you still feel like crap and jittery.
Are you a full 8 hours guy? Or
of sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a stage where, yeah, that's good. Seven and a half.
You need it?
Yeah.
Do you feel like sluggish if you oversleep? Like if you are actually wiped, you sleep 10 hours one day, you wake up at, you know, 11:30 AM.
Well, on the road, 11:30 is reasonable. Right. But it's like all about timing. I do believe in sleep cycles, at least for myself. Mm-hmm. So 9 hours is awesome. 10 hours would suck.
10 hours would suck. Are on the road, are you, like, do you like the on the road thing? Does it mess with that schedule?
Oh, I mean, yeah. It messes with my schedule. Yeah. Last night wasn't so great. You know, it depends on how the roads are. If the bus is going to stop in the middle of the night to fuel up. You know, it depends on a lot of things. Yeah.
How long have you been touring for?
25 years.
Wow.
Maybe.
a little home on the road there, you know?
Yeah.
You're getting used to it. After the 25 years, maybe.
Yes, I'm definitely used to it. I'll tell you what. When it went away in COVID, I did miss it after a while. I loved it at first, actually. That particular thing of not touring, it was so awesome. I was home for months. And then after a while, it's just a huge part of my life, my expression, and also just being used to just seeing new places and waking up in a new place. And just, I don't know, we have like a tour family.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really missed it. So.
When COVID first hit, were you like, I'm not going to do anything musical, I'm going to cleanse myself of this, or were the creative juices still kind of running for you?
Oh, I mean, that was not a point in my life where I was like, no, I don't want to do something musical. I had a point in my life years before that where I decided to quit music as a profession, and that didn't last long. That all that did was let me know that it was what I needed to do.
Yeah.
It was good in that way. I tried to be a carpenter, and I started working and doing like construction stuff, working for a company, and I quickly realized, this is cool, but no, I need to put everything into music and so that I can figure out a way to make a living doing this.
Yeah.
I forget what year that was. 2010, 2009, something like that. But what was your question? Oh, COVID.
COVID.
Yeah. No, but it was just, I was, you know, I could do without the travel.
Yeah.
So, like, stopping travel. I mean, I also spend the other part of my artistic life is mostly spent in the studio. And that was mostly gone, but then we started doing sessions with masks and stuff, but touring was dead for a while. Mm-hmm. And I do remember vividly the first tour date, first
really?
Live show date.
What do you remember about it?
Oh man, I cried. Like it was really awesome. I think it was outside, indoor, outdoor, you know, like trying to do the COVID thing.
Yeah.
At City Winery in Nashville. And I think, what was it? Gosh, I'm trying to remember. Was it an Oliver Wood? I think think we did an Oliver Wood Trio solo gig. Hmm. I'm remembering this wrong. And Seth Walker also played that night. Like a bunch of people I've worked with and our friends and musicians I love. And I just, you know, we played our set and then I just remember that felt amazing. And then I remember sitting in the audience, standing by the soundboard and watching Seth play. And I was just like, I was just so struck and moved by like how lucky I am to know these people. And that we get to do this and I get to hear this, like after not hearing anyone play live music for so long. So, yeah.
In those moments like that, is there like a song that kind of sticks with you from that exact, or like maybe any other moments where you have a specific song that you remember hearing in a place during a time and you're like, this is sticking with me?
Oh, for sure. I don't know if I remember a specific song from that night. But speaking of, it might have been, because I remember this from Seth Walker, hearing him do Grab a Hold of Me, which we've also done with the Oliver Wood solo stuff that I worked on. And I guess I worked on the original Seth Walker recording of that too. And he wrote that with Oliver, and Oliver produced that first album. And then I produced the subsequent ones. So I don't know, that song goes way back, and I've just, what really struck me, what I'm thinking about, is hearing him from across festival grounds playing a daytime set, which is, you know, that can be tough in a festival, like yeah, early on, and telling a bunch of people there who didn't know Seth, I was like, you have to go see Seth, and walking over to the stage, and he was on the main stage, and it was just like, you know, giant fields, sun beating down. And he had everyone transfixed, like you could hear a pin drop. Yeah. So yeah. When he gets into it, it's remarkable. So I don't know. There's one.
Yeah. you mentioned kind of coming out of your little, I'll say, hiatus retirement, and you know, realizing that you need to do it more and more. When did you first realize that you needed to do it? How, like, do you remember like how old you were, or you know, what's really solidified that?
I guess I wasn't like a lot of people who were like, maybe, you know, they got a guitar and, you know, high school or something, and they're like in love with it and like, I think I want to do this, because it was around me since I was a kid. My dad's a professional drummer. And so I grew up, you know, from the time I was tiny, watching him play gigs. And like, I heard a cassette years ago of me playing when I was four. Really? Playing and singing, and I was like, that's pretty good. I don't really think I've gotten that much better.
For a four-year-old.
Yeah, I was just improvising a blues. My parents they were outside, and I went in the basement and just pressed record on the tape deck.
Really?
And I played and made up a blues about being all alone in the house, where they were and what they were doing. My dad's in the shed, my mom's out working in the garden, and like,
and here you are, all alone. Here I am. Blues.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say I knew I was going to do it, because I was also, my mom's a painter, and I drew and painted growing up, like equal time to music. So it was like, if I wasn't skateboarding or something like that, because I also like to do athletic things, but I was drawing, painting, or working on music, piano or drums, mostly drums. So yeah, I don't know. It was kind of bred into me. So
yeah, who were your favorite like artists or painters?
My favorite artists, painters. Here's an inside one. Frank Frazetta. That was like, he did a lot of illustration. He did a lot of book covers. My mom was really into illustrators, and he was very much in a kind of fantastical fantasy sci-fi style, but fantastic draftsman and fantastic painter. Anyway, that's kind of a random one to pick out. Cause you know, a lot of the greats I love too. Like I remember becoming obsessed with Picasso for a while, but, yeah, I just saw someone wearing a Frank Frazetta t-shirt and I was like, where'd you get that? And she's like, there's this museum. I was like, you went? you know, it's very inside, but in Pennsylvania, there's just this Frank Frazetta Museum. I don't know. I was very, you know, that was another thing. Like, my parents passed, my mom passed down that kind of stuff to me.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, a bunch of illustrators I was into, and
That was a great one. Illustration, were you into comic books at all?
You know, I wasn't, but I had a friend who really was, so I gained an appreciation of that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, his name is Benjamin Mara, and I was just seeing this amazing, like, comic book stuff now.
Really?
Like, he's in it. He followed it all the way through. So I got an appreciation for what that was at the time, but now I guess just more kind of like fine art stuff and painting. I don't do too much of that. The most is, like, people are like, who painted that on your shitar? It's like, oh, I did that. Just randomly every few years I'll get the bug and I'll, like, paint an owl on my shitar or something.
There you go. Now you have an owl on your shitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned skateboarding a minute ago. Now, when I think of a kid skateboarding, this music isn't exactly, Little Brothers isn't exactly the music that comes to mind. So were you, you know, skating, listening to Rancid, or were you skating, like, you know, listening to John Prine?
We were totally listening to Misfits. you know, I think musically I had my own thing, but I was on the edge of that skate culture. So I did listen to that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but musically I was always kind of like, not with necessarily what my friends were listening to, because I had a very focused musical life and stuff I was into.
Yeah.
You know, I went through some phases with friends around, but I was really into Pink Floyd at that time.
Ooh.
Like, really, really into Pink Floyd.
I was never a Pink Floyd guy. Me and some buddies put out. I'm gonna close
that. Yeah, let me close that.
Beautiful. Me and some buddies put on The Wall for the first time I ever heard it, and it was a life changing experience.
Yeah,
it was. You feel it over your whole body. You know, it just washes over you.
That's cool to hear how someone else felt that. I never think I've talked to anyone about what they thought of The Wall the first time, but yeah, I used to. I mean, I was young and I used to watch that movie. I didn't know what the hell was going on in that movie, but it was like a feeling and like. Yeah, they just were able to conjure certain feelings. And when I look back at it, they're very patient. Like, that music often moves very slow. And there's 16 measures, 32 measures in the middle of a song of just the groove vamp with maybe like three guitar licks. It's like so patient and there's so much space. And I think I've always gravitated to stuff. Whether it was that or more funky music.
Do you feel like you incorporate some of that patience into your own music?
I do. I don't think about it consciously much. But if anything, like in the confines of making a record, maybe, sometimes I listen back and I'm like, oh, I need to like... hit it a little harder sooner because there's not enough time to be this patient. But I don't think about it. It's something that's kind of automatic for me.
Yeah. We talked about your mom's influence a little bit. You were putting together an album with your father.
Mm-hmm.
Legacy.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of musicians are able to do that, you know? So, I mean, obviously, I'm sure it feels incredibly special, but, like, is there anything in that album that you just haven't felt before while making music?
Oh, good question. Yes. You know, and I don't know if it's purely a musical thing as far as like the aesthetics of the music, like the musical choices.
Yeah.
But it felt very different to make that record. I make records all the time. Like, I'm very lucky to have been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
Either as a musician or a producer, and we have our studio. You know, me and the Wood Brothers in Nashville. But making a record with my dad was, I think I put more pressure on myself. Not that it had to be not going to be, I didn't care if it was a commercial product, but it was just, it just felt more like, I don't know. I wanted it to be good. I wanted him to like it, you know? I don't know. It was just, it was harder for me to finish it.
Really?
I found myself dragging my feet, which is part, I blame myself partially. We're equally to blame why it took us 12 years from our first notes put down and recording to the end. But yeah, I think it was, yeah, yeah, anyway.
During those 12 years, were there any songs that you were able to like get down in a day or get, you know, a good chunk of it down? Well, or were they all really laborious?
Oh, I mean, in the end, I mean, we only had maybe five times we ever got together and recorded. Really? I'd say probably 5 days total.
To make an album, that's a pretty good time to make an album.
There was a lot. Okay, but there was a lot of... No, I spent other days myself. But I erased a lot of it. Because what we would do is we'd get together. The first time we got together at Southern Ground Studios in Nashville. And we spent an entire day. Maybe it was 2 days. I think it might have just one day. And we tracked basics. Just the two of us for... I mean, it's only the two of us playing everything on the record.
Yeah.
And we got like half the record done that day. And then another day in the town where my parents live in New York, I went up there and we tracked again. We got basically the other half of the basic tracks done. And then overdubs, I would work on them like in Nashville and I would add a lot. And in the end, it was just like, like a lot of times, I just stripped it back to mostly just me playing like a Fender Rhodes, my dad playing drums, our vocals. No, it can't have been 5 days. I'm going to give us 7 days, but totally working together. But I worked a lot of other days, you know, on it myself, just adding little things, taking things away. Yeah.